Ten Commandments as a gift from God, given to move us forward on this journey of life in a way that brings unity with one another and alignment with the will of God, they can set us free. No longer seeing them as rules and regulations, a narrow way of being in this world, the Ten Commandments serve as the way God, who is love, helps us live loving, respectful, and honoring of all creation. In the years when I would regularly journey to Haiti, one of the striking things I would encounter was always the chaos of traffic. There are no stop signs, a rare traffic light, and no lines in the road. Traveling on the road is a free-for-all. The one in the biggest vehicle has the most power, which means it goes from truck, bus, to tap-tap, which are often pickup trucks filled with people, vans, cars, motorcycles, then pedestrians. It's safer to pile four people on a motorcycle than walk. Dodging traffic is a normal way to get from point A to point B. A person walking is incredibly vulnerable. The traffic will not stop or even slow down to let them cross the street. Although, if you wait a minute, the traffic does stop because it rarely moves with any speed in the city. On the road, I often traveled, there were no guardrails on the curves, no guideposts. My life was placed in the hands of Jean Gary, the driver who safely would make the 90-mile journey from Port-au-Prince to La Caille in the amazing time of 5 hours. Did I mention the potholes, the washed away bridges, the detours through a river when we couldn't go around it? There is no way I would ever get behind the wheel in this chaos. There is no way I would be able to navigate the roads, the curves, the steep edges. After more than a dozen trips to Haiti, I never got more comfortable with the roads. Instead, after seeing many accidents or abandoned burning vehicles, I became more sure that without John Gary, I could never move beyond the airport to my destination. I don't tell this story to pick on Haiti. I love the people I met in my time there. Yet this is the place I know where life is lived without the physical guideposts and guardrails to keep people safe. And I wonder, if we remove them from our lives, how quickly would we too look and feel chaotic navigating our roads? We've come to accept them, expect others to know the rules they represent and live within them. When other people choose to ignore them, the consequences can be horrendous, as anyone who has been in an accident caused by someone running a red light can tell you. Guideposts and guardrails. They set us free to travel safely through life, give us directions, move us from one place to another, knowing those around us are seeing the same signs, going the same way, watching for the same dangers. This is the gift of the Ten Commandments. Can you hear the voice of God echoing through time, speaking the words of the commandments to give us the best way to live in relationship with God and one another, the best way to love? Listen to them, not as if God was wagging a finger at you and pointing out your mistakes, but as if God, who is love, is offering you a better way of life than you have ever known. Let's be reminded of the first three from Exodus 20. I'm reading from the Common English Bible Translation. 1. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You must have no other gods before me. 2. Do not make an idol for yourselves. No form whatsoever of anything in the sky above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow down to them or worship them. 3. Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it were of no significance. And today we add the fourth commandment from verses 8 to 11. As we read this, imagine you're at the foot of Mount Sinai. All your life you have worked 7 days a week, sun up to sundown. All your life You have never known a day of rest, a time to sit and reflect and spend time with your family during the daylight hours. You have never had someone say, stop work and take a day off, ever. You worked as soon as you were physically able to do what the master said, as soon as your child-sized fingers could mix mortar or carry water. This was your life, and you only stopped when you died. Now imagine the gift of these words from God. 4. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you, because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In an interview with Rabbi Arthur Nemtsov from Kansas City, I heard him describe how Jews experience Sabbath, this gift of a day to honor the Lord. They await it with joy and expectation. He spoke of how they work through the week in anticipation of the Sabbath. The rabbi talked of how they see themselves as a groom at the altar, waiting for the arrival of a bride, the Sabbath. Think of that moment. You've been there when the doors open and everyone turns to look. The happiness, the smiles, the awe of welcoming. As I listened and thought of this metaphor, I began to understand more clearly what we have lost when we don't remember the Sabbath, when we don't take the time to rest, honor God and one another by how we spend 1/7 of our week. We need this guardrail. God has always had a heart for the poor, the enslaved, the oppressed. The Exodus story is of God setting the captives free. When God called Moses, these were God's words in Exodus 3, verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land. Remembering the Sabbath is a way God has commanded that we do not use our freedom to become the oppressors of anyone. Our own families, those who might be under your employ, the people you lead, the children you are raising, those for whom you have the ability to give rest. Even the animals need Sabbath. When we spend every day, day in and day out, working and mandating others do the same, we've taken away time for renewal of bodies, regeneration of soul, reconnecting with relationships. We've set up the optimal conditions for burnout. And it's not just work that can do this. We can burn out on the good things too. Raising a family is exhausting. Participating in myriad of activities that our competitive culture makes available to us can squeeze out a Sabbath. Feeling like we are never doing enough, never getting it right, never perfecting the performance can drive us into forgetting the Sabbath. God commanded Sabbath for us, not as one more burden to place on ourselves, but as a gift to receive, a time to remember what is holy. Time itself is holy. 24 hours a day is all we have been entrusted with, and it comes one day at a time. If a week passes without finding Sabbath rest, without noticing the beauty in the world, without letting our bodies, mind, and spirit regenerate, we are diminishing the quality of our days, and perhaps the number of them we may have on this planet. 6 days we may give to the many demands on our lives, but the seventh, this one is holy, set apart. It is meant to be used to strengthen relationships, write letters, phone a friend, walk in the woods, float a river. And just an aside, if you know of a family with children, a family where there is a great need for a caregiver to find rest, Would you consider offering them a Sabbath time? The sun will rise again tomorrow, but this day is all we have, all anyone has. Time is holy. Worship is holy. A great loss during the pandemic was our ability to gather together for worship. Through this year, I have become incredibly grateful for the gift of online worship to keep us connected no matter where we are in the world. We've been able to introduce others to the downtown church who we may never have been able to meet and connect them to the love of God we have found in Jesus Christ. I love knowing that my mom and dad and other family members in Georgia and Florida can share worship with me. I have also learned how important it is to offer online worship because not everyone is available on Sunday morning. And I believe there is holiness in worshiping together in person that we need for Sabbath. We need to see others on this journey of life who are seeking to learn and follow the God-given guideposts. We need to lift our voices together in song and prayer and create a beautiful offering to the Lord. We need to come into the sanctuary, eager and willing to be changed and renewed for the days ahead. We need to feel and know God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are here. When we leave this place, we must be able to take a deep breath and know God goes with us. Worship is holy. At the downtown church, we are committed to being a both and church, both online and in person. I pray you will let us be part of your Sabbath experience. The gift of Sabbath, the commandment to remember this day and keep it holy, it is not given to shame us into going to church or guilt us into providing explanations for why we skipped this past week. The Sabbath commandment was not given to us that we could debate what is work and what is not. It is to show us the heart of God. The gift of Sabbath is to teach us how to engage in the fullness of living this one and glorious life we have been given. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He taught on the Sabbath. He read the sacred scrolls in the sanctuary, fed his disciples, gave a paralyzed man a hope and a future by restoring his ability to walk. Jesus does not downplay the importance of the Sabbath. He expands it into an understanding that this day is all about God, people, and relationships. He calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus showed his disciples then and you and I today of the wonder that can happen when we give this day to the Lord. Right there, in the midst of a synagogue, Jesus meets a man in need. From Matthew 12, we read, Jesus left that place and entered their synagogue. A man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. He said to them, Suppose one of you has only one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath? Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to them, Stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored as sound as the other. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let it be a guidepost to create a rhythm and order in your life. Let it be a guardrail to guide you safely forward. Let it be a gift of renewal, restoration, and relationships to bring quiet to your soul and joy with God and one another. How will you find holiness on this very day? Let's pray. Almighty God, we imagine the wonder, beauty of the day spent with you and feel like we should be doing more. We think of an entire 24 hours in gratitude for what we've already been given and find ourselves thinking our time is being wasted. Holy, good, and gracious God, we open our hearts to be transformed by remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. For there is no better place to be than resting before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.